president. I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from the Air Force.
Yo! And welcome back to The Fix. The blackest and richest sports podcast you have ever heard. I am your host, Joseph Ward, and we are about to get it in once again. This is episode 3. So let's get down to the boogie. Well, you know, first and foremost, we want to recognize things that happened over the past week. So, about last week this time, I'm in the state of Florida. I'm in the city of Tallahassee, Florida. So about last time this week, we were being prepared to be hit by Hurricane Irma. And Irma did a lot of destruction to the state of Florida. So we want to make sure that we recognize what happened, not just try to act like Hurricane Irma didn't happen, because it not only affected the world of sports, but it affected people's real regular life. I mean, the city of Miami that's flooded, all the other coastal cities that are flooded. I know even some of my family members, trees falling on their houses, people losing power for days, people going without resources and things. So Hurricane Irma did a lot of damage and did displaced a lot of things, and a lot of games had to be rescheduled. College football, professional football games had to be rescheduled. Actually, Hurricane Irma actually came through our area here in Tallahassee, our Big Bend area. And the Big Bend basically is an 8-county area, and Tallahassee being the main county of those 8 counties. And we didn't get the brunt of it, but we did get affected by it, and there were some people who did get affected. I know a lot of the coastal cities in the southern counties, they were flooded, and a lot of trees down, a lot of things just happened. So just want to take time to recognize that with Hurricane Irma. And, you know, natural disasters, they happen, but let's try to be better prepared for these things as a community, as a whole. I know this is a sports show. We want to talk about sports, and sometimes we look at sports as our getaway from the rigors of the real world, but we also have to stop trying to act like these things don't happen for real, because when you get away from sports, you have to go back to the real world, and being prepared for these things could help overcome the devastation, because we know some businesses are done. Some businesses have been put out of business. Some people have been put out of business because of the storm. So any aid that you can get to Hurricane Irma, to the victims of Florida, even in Houston, Louisiana, just from these last couple of weeks and months, please do so. And we'll make sure that we have information on our website. Now, remember, the Fix is sponsored by On the Shoulders of Giants, which is African history at your fingertips. And make sure you visit the website www.ontheshoulders.org, as well as the blog www.ontheshoulders1.com, to get your fix of, African history. It's over 150 African history profiles on the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, www.ontheshoulders1.com. So make sure you go and learn about your sung and unsung heroes. All right. Let's get into sports. And, you know, I always kick it off with my HBCU spotlight. So this week on the HBCU spotlight, we want to give a shout-out to the coach of the 2017 U.S. Open winner, Sloan Stephens, her coach, Mr. Kamu Murray. Now, Kamu Murray is the tennis coach, like I said, of the 2017 U.S. Open winner, Sloan Stephens. Now, let's do a little bragging. Kamu Murray is a former tennis player and graduate of the Florida A&M University, and he graduated with his MBA. He worked in corporate pharmaceuticals until about 2015. That's when he decided to give up the corporate world to coach for full time. And he began coaching. He actually began coaching the one of the fellow tennis players of Sloan Stephens before he actually started coaching Sloan in 2015. Now, Murray is a 36-year-old coach of a 24-year-old U.S. Open winner. He's 36. The young man is doing his thing. I'm 33. So that's why I'm excited about that. You know, 36. Kamu Murray is 36 years old. And Kamu Murray is the man. Now, he began coaching in 2015. He also began coaching Sloan Stephens in 2015 after he quit his job and coaching became his full-time job. Now, as a collegiate tennis player, he was the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference tennis champion in the year 2000. And the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference is the athletic conference that FAMU is a part of. So football, basketball, baseball, tennis, all those things there. They're under the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. And he won the championship in the year 2000. So it's not like he just woke up one day and said, hey, I want to coach tennis. He's actually a tennis champion. Now, he said he was a good tennis player, but Sloan Stephens is a great tennis player, right? So, I mean, HBCU graduates are just all over the world just doing all types of things. Even people who haven't really graduated from HBCUs yet are just doing lovely and wonderful things. I mean, we got to give it up for our HBCUs, and we always want to make sure that we give love to our HBCUs, and that's why this HBCU spotlight is so important to me, because we have our graduates all over the world just giving life to everything. So salute to Mr. Kamu Murray. Our hat goes off to Mr. Kamu Murray, and I hope you train more champions and become more successful in your endeavors, my brother Mr. Kamu Murray. And for that, you know, our studio audience at some point got to give Mr. Murray some love, because I mean, what are we doing here if we ain't giving our people some love? So our studio audience, I don't know where they at. Oh, this trip. Studio audience don't want to work right, but it's all good. Now, moving on. Got a little technical difficulty, I know. Oh, it's all good, but moving on. So, our next topic is, if you haven't been paying attention in the world of sports, you haven't heard this, but even outside the world of sports, controversy sparked on Monday, September 11th, and not because of the 9/11 controversy, or the 9/11 tragedies, rather, but because of tweets by SportsCenter anchor Jemele Hill. So Monday, September 11th, Jemele Hill, through her Twitter account, basically called out Donald Trump about his support of and incitement of white supremacy and racism from his position as the President of the United States of America. Now, I appreciate her calling him out and all those things there, but let's try to act like America ain't been racist, Trump ain't been racist, and racism hasn't been espoused and even supported from the presidential position. But, of course, we know Agent Orange, a.k.a. Donald Trump, Agent H, Mr. Short Stabble, you know, he's just on a whole nother out in your face level about his. So Hill tweeted that Donald Trump is unqualified and unfit to be president, and a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. Now, did she lie? Nope. Did she say anything malicious that anybody else has not said? Nope. White people have said it. Other black people have said it. White women have said it. White men have said it. A lot of people have said what she said. And it was on her own personal Twitter account. It became an issue. And it became a real big issue, a real big story around the country. So one of the reasons why I'm talking about today. So the following day, ESPN, the management of ESPN released a statement via its PR office saying that the comments Hill made about Trump on her Twitter account, this does not represent the position of ESPN. They say they have addressed the issue with Jamel and she recognizes her actions were inappropriate. Hill, in the statement posted on Twitter late Wednesday, she posted on Twitter about Trump, then went on to say that her regret is that her comments and the public way she made them painted ESPN in an unfair light, and her respect for the company and her colleagues remains unconditional. I call bullshit on this whole statement. I call bullshit because nothing that she said or did reflected anything about ESPN. She did it on her own personal account. She didn't mention or say or do anything about ESPN. Now, ESPN is only taking that position because they give her money. They pay her. They write her check. I see, once again, that's why I'm saying we got to own our own stuff. We got to work for ourselves. We got to own our own stuff. We got to own our own voice. Our journalist, she didn't have to. Why she apologized for saying things that we already know? Why she apologized for saying things that other people have already said? Like Trump went out and basically condoned the violence that happens in Charlottesville. Like the stuff that we've heard, the things that Trump himself have said about Barack Obama when Barack Obama was president, things that Trump have said before doing it, after the campaign, during his presidency about people. Like, you can't, come on, ESPN. Now, let's break this down. ESPN said that her comments do not represent the position of ESPN. Now, everybody know Trump supports white supremacy. Everybody know he does that. So, but people act like they don't know ESPN support white supremacy. ESPN does support white supremacy. ABC support white supremacy. Disney support white supremacy. They're all components of white supremacy. They are a part of the white supremacist system. ESPN, Disney, ABC, and all other affiliates, they are proponents and components of the weight of the white racist supremacist system. And the media components, they are the ones who espouse the propaganda. Now, once again, because Jemele Hill works for them, she had to go back and make that comment or that supposed apology. And ESPN is saying that they forgive her and things. Now, to further this, one of the White House spokespersons, Sarah Huckabee, Sarah Huckabee Sanders called out Jemele Hill in the press conference saying that her comments were outrageous and they shouldn't have been said. And basically, Huckabee saying that Jemele Hill should be fired from ESPN. Now, your president can go around saying he grabbed pussy. Now, in all fairness, Trump did not say that he grabbed pussy during his campaign. But the fact that that information came out and all the other statements that he has made during his campaign, before the campaign and after the campaign and during his presidency, his comments in Charlottesville calls for him to be fired or impeached. Now, Huckabee is only saying this because that's what she's supposed to do. Huckabee doing her job. But see, when you behind enemy lines, you got to do that. So I already know they're going to Stephen A. Smith. Jemele Hill. And what I mean by that, when you get Stephen A. Smith wasn't as reckless, and as Stephen A. Smith's head wasn't all up white people's ass in the beginning as it is now. I'm not saying he wasn't always not an Uncle Tom, but a Sambo. I'm not saying he wasn't always a Sambo and a sellout, but I do know his head wasn't all the way up ESPN's ass now, as it is now, because he's trying to save face because of those comments, those truthful, truthful comments he made about domestic violence when he during the rape right situation, when he said that some women do put themselves in harm's way when it comes to domestic violence, because some women do incite domestic violence, which is true, and some women do start domestic violence situations, and women go around putting their hands on me. That's true. He didn't say anything that was wrong. And if you think I'm wrong, well, hit me up on Twitter at JoeWard84, and we can go at it and we can talk about it. Not man, I forgot. Just thinking about it, I forgot to talk about all the social media accounts, but I do that for the show. But Huckabee is saying that it's a fireable offense. Yes, right now ESPN isn't making any moves to fire her per se, but I'll get to more of that right now. After Sarah Huckabee's comments, Jemele Hill put a tweet out basically saying, "So, comma, to address the elephant in the room, ... hashtag facts," you know, from her Twitter account. And ESPN is saying that Jemele Hill has her right to her personal opinions, but not to publicly share them on a platform that implies that she was in any way speaking on behalf of ESPN. That's from John Krulwitz, network spokesman, told the Associated Press. She has acknowledged that her tweets crossed the line and has apologized for doing so. We accept her apology. Once again, bullshit. She didn't cross the line. She didn't do anything wrong. Nothing she said reflected ESPN. It's not like she said, "I am Jemele Hill of ESPN and these are my thoughts from ESPN." Those were her personal thoughts from her personal Twitter account. But once again, when you sign up to work for white folk, this is what happened. This is what happened when you sign up to work for white folk. They're going to put that collar around your neck. They're going to put that leash on you, that muzzle on you, right? They're going to tell you what you can say, what you can't say, all those things. And that's crazy. Like, that's total crazy that Jemele Hill has to do this for speaking her mind. But once again, we are behind enemy lines of black people. We need to control more of our interests. And once we control more of our interests, we control our destinies, we control these companies and things that we work for, we don't have to worry about this bullshit coming from these white people. Right? Because they want her to apologize for speaking the truth. So, I was watching a clip of hers earlier this week on TV, and she was talking about how she's not going to silence herself. She's not going to be the person who only talks about sports, because a lot of people who say, "Hey, stick to sports. They're telling athletes and people who work in the sports to just stick to sports, but nobody told J.J. Watt to stick to sports when he went to get the aid for the Houston, for what happened in Houston, for the flooding in Houston. J.J. Watt raised over $30 million. J.J. Watt is seen as a national hero. Nobody told him to stick to sports. They're telling Jemele Hill to stick to sports. They're telling Colin Kaepernick to stick to sports. So what they're saying is, shut your black ass up, because we don't want to hear you. Because the stick to sports thing is just a nicer way of them saying, shut your black ass up, we don't want to hear you. Because the things that you're saying is working against our system of white supremacy and racism. Now, remember, I told y'all, this is the blackest and the realest sports podcast you ever gonna hear. So when they're telling Jemele Hill to stick to sports, these are people who support the system of white supremacy and racism, telling her that her comments, Colin Kaepernick's comments, Jemele Hill's comments, all the comments and action that our black players make that counter or oppose the system of white supremacy and racism, white people have a problem with it. And they will let you know that you're opposing our system. We don't like it. And you need to get back in line, Negro. And when the black people don't get back in line, white people want them removed from their positions so they can stay in line. Like, but we all have to understand this. When you take a stand against white supremacy and racism, you have to be willing to lose something. You have to be willing to give something up. You have to be willing to endure attacks. You have to be willing to know that white people going to be stupid. White supremacists, rather, going to be stupid. So, in light of that, ESPN According to the NewYorkPost.com, ESPN tried to take Jemele Hill off of the air on Wednesday in the wake of what she said of her Twitter comments. And now they came to Michael Smith basically saying they was going to take Jemele off and replace Jemele Hill. So Michael Smith basically refused, according to the New York Post, refused to do the show without her. So they wanted to replace Jemele Hill with another black host or sports anchor named Ellen Duncan. But Ellen Duncan refused to do the show as well. So Michael Smith refused to do the show without Jemele. They went to Ellen Duncan. Ellen Duncan refused to do the show. And they went to another host, Michael Eaves, to replace both Hill and Smith. So they wanted to get Duncan and Eaves to replace Hill and Smith, but both Duncan and Eaves said no. So they had to stick with Jemele Hill and Michael Smith on the SportsCenter 6 o'clock. Now, the SportsCenter 6 o'clock is their hot spot. It's their prime time slot for the actual SportsCenter show. And SportsCenter, they call it the 6. And then, you know, since they put the black people on there, they got to call it the 6. They jazz it up. And they created this spot to get more black viewers. Now, I knew it was only a matter of time before some controversy happened, for somebody to say something, because I knew one of these two, I kind of figured more so Jemele than Michael Smith. I knew that this was going to happen. Somebody was going to say something, and the white folk was going to get mad, because you got two black people who are not necessarily the most outspoken, but they bound to say something. I knew it. So they tried to sneak attack and replace them, but ESPN tried to say that they ain't do that. It's been like, nah, come on, man. We ain't trying to replace no Jemele and no Michael. But there's a lot of reports out there that saying that they are. Once again, we got to work for ourselves. We got to own our own shit. We got to be in control of our own destiny. And when we are not in control of our own destiny, we get these things here. This is what happens. This is what happens when we're not in control of our own destiny. We run into these things with these white folk, and the white folk trying to silence us and tell us to be quiet. The white folk don't want us to stand up and fight and galvanize our people. Now, remember, like I said, to me, an athlete's job is to bring awareness and support the movement. It's activist's job to make the movement happen, to create the movement and make the movement work. Those are the job of the activists. Athletes and entertainers can support it, but the activist is their job to make it work, right? Because an athlete or an entertainer will not be able to fully invest themselves within the fight, because they will always have the fear, or they'll always be aware of losing their position, losing their job, losing their income, losing their money, not being able to have the platform anymore, because their platform can be taken away from them. Because they're working for others, they don't own their own state, right? When you don't own your own state, you got to go to other people. So that's why we have to stand behind our activists more. And we have to get our athletes and our regular people to support our activists, those who can really stand up and fight. Like on this show, can't nobody tell me what to say on this Freedom Train Network, because I own the network. So you can get mad at the stuff I say, but if you want to talk to my supervisor, you're talking to me. I own the network. Me and my man Patrick, we own the network. We put our own money up. We put our own time and effort, and we own the network. You can't stop us. You can't shut us down. You can't tell us what we can and we can't say. We have to be in control of ours, because white people come with this bullshit. When you are standing up for yourself and you're standing up against white supremacy and racism, right? So remember that, black people. Support our own, build our own, move toward our own true liberation. so our reporters can really speak the truth. Because Trump is a racist. He's surrounding himself with racists, and that's just how it is. All right. So moving on. I can't believe I had technical difficulty. I can't get my studio audience to clap for my technical difficulties. Ain't that a blip? I can't even believe that. But on to the WNBA. And I know, and I keep saying, I know most of y'all don't. Y'all not into the WNBA. I have no idea why y'all not into the WNBA. I mean, it's great basketball. I swear it's great basketball. So, the playoffs are happening. The WNBA playoffs are happening. And basically, they are in the semifinals. The WNBA semifinals, which started on Tuesday, I believe. Yes, they started on Tuesday. WNBA semifinals. Game one was between the Washington Mystics and the Minnesota Lynx. And that was the first game. But they're both, it's the best of five series. And so the four remaining teams are the Washington Mystics versus the Minnesota Lynx and the Phoenix Mercury versus the LA Sparks. So the series right now is 2-0 Minnesota Lynx over the Washington Mystics and 2-0 LA Sparks over the Phoenix Mercury. So game one, Washington Mystics won 101-81. I know I was watching a little bit of that game, and the Mystics were up at halftime. No, I'm sorry. No, they wasn't. The Lynx were up at halftime by 7. But what really helped the Lynx is the 31-point third quarter that they had. Busting that 31-point third quarter. So the Lynx took a 101-81 victory in game one, while the Phoenix Mercury fell to the LA Sparks 66-79 for game one. And that was on Tuesday, September 12th. So Thursday, September 14th, game two, the Washington Mystics lost again to the Minnesota Lynx 83-93, while the Phoenix Mercury once again fell short to the Los Angeles Sparks 72-86. And game three is today. Game three is today. What's today? Yeah, today is the 17th, September 17th. So game three, the Washington Mystics and the Minnesota Lynx, they play at 3 p.m. And the LA Sparks and the Phoenix Mercury play at 5 p.m. Game three, the first game of game three is at 3 p.m. and the second game of game three is at 5 p.m. So if the Lynx win, they will have a rematch in last year's finals against the LA Sparks, where the Sparks won. I was mad because I don't like to see Maya Moore sad. I like Maya Moore. I think she's beautiful, and I have a crush on her. Yes, I do. But man, I need to get into this NBA, this WNBA. So last week I forgot, I don't know what was going on. I guess Irma, but Simone Augustus, Lindsey Whalen, I think Sylvia Fowles, Maya Moore. That's a squad. But even like they got a squad and they balling right here. The Washington Mystics ain't ready, man. The Washington Mystics got a squad too. Now the LA Sparks. I am ready to see that rematch, though, because I want to see Elena Beard. Elena Beard is the Defensive Player of the Year for the WNBA, and she locking down Diana Taurasi. Like, Diana Taurasi is out there straight frustrated by Elena Beard and the defense and the intensity that she's putting on them. So, man, y'all make sure y'all check out the WNBA. Go to WNBA.com, learn more about it, stay up on it, and start acting like y'all don't like the WNBA, man. It's good dang on basketball. Those women be balling, and the playoffs tonight, I know it's football season, and it's probably not the best idea to put the WNBA, to have the WNBA rolling during football season, because most people going to watch football. But if you like me and you're not watching the NFL because you're black and you tired of the disrespect, and it's not, it's bigger than Colin Kaepernick. It's just a total disrespect, period. And the in-your-face support of white supremacy and racism and the killing of black people. So, yeah. Now, while we're talking about basketball, let's talk about something that's it's kind of funny, but Carmelo Anthony has, put like this, NBA rankings came out. I think NBA.com put out their annual NBA rankings each year. And when they put out their rankings, one of the biggest things that got people all up in arms is Carmelo Anthony's rank. Now, I get to some of the ranks. I give you the top 10. I will give you the top 10, but I want to start with number 64 on the NBA rank is Carmelo Anthony. Now, I know Carmelo's career hasn't been what we would want it to be as far as compared to LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and Kevin Durant. And in all fairness, Carmelo's teams have never been that good. The best team he's been on was those Denver Nuggets teams with Chauncey Billups and AI and all those things there. But, you know, he went to New York. New York wasn't good. But so the NBA.com, they have Carmelo ranked as the 64th best player in the NBA, right behind Lonzo Ball, who's number 63, who's never played a game in the NBA. Now, Lonzo Ball, 63. Eric Gordon, 62. Avery Bradley is 61. Devin Booker is 60. Danny Green, 59. Harrison Barnes, 58. Andrew Wiggins, 57. Robert Covington, I don't even know who that is. He's 55. He played for the Sixers. Danilo Gallinari, he's 54. Andre Drummond is 53. Drew Holiday is 52. Brook Lopez, 51. You crazy how you think Brook Lopez better than Carmelo Anthony? So I'm like, man, you know, I ride with Carmelo. Like, Carmelo is a bad boy. Carmelo's still like one of the top five best scorers in the league. But if you're going to tell me that all these cats better than Carmelo, his stats better be garbage. And looking at Carmelo's stats, his stats not garbage. So 2017 stats, points per game, 22 points per game, has 2 turnovers a game. What's this? Personal fouls, 2 fouls down me. 0.8 steals a game, 0.04 blocks a game, 2 assists a game, 5 rebounds. He averaged 5 rebounds a game, most of them defensive rebounds. His 83% free throw shooter. He's 35% from behind the arc. Field goal percentage around his normal average, 43%. He's 45% career average field goal percentage. He was 43 this year. I don't know. He played 74 games. I don't know. I have no idea why he is ranked 64th. Now, I was listening to some ESPN radio and things. They were going off of player efficiency ratings and things like that. I don't know. Y'all give me y'all thoughts. I know Carmelo is not great on defense. I know his passing isn't superb. He can pass. He's a hell of a scorer. He can rebound. Carmelo can take over the game when he wants to. When it comes, you know, last 5 seconds of the game, Carmelo, one of the people that you want the ball in their hands, he's gonna score. He's going to make that shot. The New York situation, you can't really put that all on him. Like, Phil Jackson made some horrible moves. The owner of the Knicks made horrible decisions. But to be ranked 64th, that's disrespectful. That's disrespectful for Carmelo to be ranked 64th. I mean, Greg Lee, 64th? Really 64th? But that's what they did. They put him at 64th. Ranked him as the 64th best player in the league. Now, let's see. He's 64. Marcus Smart is 65. Nicholas Batum is 66. Patty Mills is 67. Aaron Gordon is 68. Serge Ibaka is 69. Clint Capella is 70. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is 71. Tristan Thompson is 72. Jeff Teague, 73. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is 74. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, they don't even have, is he a rookie who finished last? Well, they don't even have, like, game pictures of him. They got a picture of him holding his jersey with Magic Johnson. Dennis Smith Jr., 75. So let's see. Let me click on this. Let's see the NBA ranks. Who they rank 1 through 10? That's what I want to know. Because they got Carmelo at 64. Like, who's number one? All right. Come on now. Let's work now. All right. Give me a minute. Let's pull up so we can see number one. I think I was looking earlier. Now I think I had Draymond Green at number 10. Let me see. Get this thing pulled up, right? It's taking its time. Let's see what we got here. Yeah, so Draymond Green is number 10. Giannis, the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, whatever. The Greek freak, Antetokounmpo. I can't say his name. Don't be laughing at me. James Harden is 8. Come on. Work with me. They moving slow. So Harden is 8. Chris Paul is 7. Anthony Davis is 6. Russell Westbrook is 5. Steph Curry is 4. Kawhi Leonard is 3. Kevin Durant is 2. LeBron James is 1. Me personally, I think Draymond Green is better than Kevin Durant. I think Draymond Green is a better overall player than Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is a better scorer than Draymond Green, obviously. But I think Draymond Green is the best player on that Warriors team. I've always thought Draymond, well, since like the 2 years ago when they first started making their runs, 2-3 years ago, I thought Draymond Green was the best player. I just don't think that Kevin Durant is the best. I mean, how is Kevin Durant the second best player in the league? And you can't, we haven't seen you like really lead your team to the finals. Like, we haven't really seen you lead your team to victories and championships, Kevin Durant. You joined the team with 3 other superstars, Kevin Durant. For you to be the second best, I don't agree with that. So, Steph Curry is not better than Russell Westbrook. Steph Curry is not better than Draymond Green. I would probably have the Greek Freak at 10. I would have the Greek Freak at 10. I would have they got James Harden at 8. I had the Greek Freak at 10. James Harden at 9. I have James Harden at 9. Eight, I would have. I have Anthony Davis a little higher. I probably have. Steph Curry would probably be at 8 for me. At 8 and 7. Well, no, excuse me. I have Chris Paul at 10. No, Greek Freak at 10. Greek Freak at 10, Chris Paul at 9, James Harden at 8, Steph Curry at 7, Kawhi Leonard at 6, Anthony Davis at 5, Kevin Durant at 4, Draymond at 3, Russell Westbrook at 2, and LeBron at 1. That's probably what I would do. I'm thinking about overall, like, both sides of the ball. Like, Steph Curry don't play no defense. And, you know, he kind of sneaky with the rebounds and things. But let's just be real. Steph Curry only showed up in one of the last 3 finals. He only really showed up. And I ain't talking about just scoring points. I'm talking about total impact. Steph Curry really only just showed up. So, I mean, that's the NBA rankings. They had Carmelo at 6, and you see the top 10. And so, of course, Carmelo had an issue with that, and there's a lot of controversy going on. The people had a lot of stories and reports and a lot of talk around Carmelo Anthony being ranked at 64, which is bull. Now, of course, they say they're going off those play efficiency ratings, but hey, I don't know. I don't see how you can have Alonzo Ball, well, not Alonzo, but Alonzo Ball, who has never played 1 second of NBA regular season or playoff basketball, have him ahead of Carmelo Anthony because of that garbage-ass summer league stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, man. Come on. All right, so enough of the basketball. Let's get to a real sport. Let's talk about some college football. And it is week 3 of the college football season. I'm mad that college football is moving kind of fast. But nevertheless, college football is here, and we are already in week 3. It needs to slow down. So the Friday game was South Florida against Illinois. And you know South Florida has Charlie Strong as their coach. And South Florida put that thing on Illinois. 47-23 total yards as far as passing. Illinois had 287 passing yards, one touchdown, three interceptions. Their quarterback, George Jr., South Florida quarterback, Flowers went 17 for 32, 304 yards, four touchdowns in the pick. For Illinois, their quarterback, George Jr., went 20 for 4, 287 yards, one pick. One touchdown and three pick. Rushing yards. Illinois, as a team, they rushed for, they had 15 total runs as a team. And 67 total yards, two touchdowns. Their longest run was 45 yards. Now, as a team, South Florida had 66 carries. Their quarterback. Wow. Their quarterback had 25 carries for 106 yards. And the touchdowns, longest run was 12 yards. Had another back, Tice, had 12 carries for 105 yards and touchdown. Another running back, Johnson, had 17 carries for 101 yards. So they had a total of 66 carries, 376 rushing yards, two touchdowns. So as far as passing, like I said, 17 total receptions, 304 yards, four touchdowns. Their leading receiver was Valdez Scantling. Excuse me. So Marquez Valdez Scantling had four receptions for 96 yards and touchdowns. D'Antoine, the second receiver, had four receptions for 93 yards and a touchdown. And they had two other touchdowns by D. Johnson and T. McCants, while Illinois sucked. So that was the Friday game to start off the college football week 3. So Alabama steamrolled Colorado State. Now you know one thing I like about Alabama this year. I like the new offensive coordinator came in from the Patriots. His name escapes me right now, but new offensive coordinator came in from the Patriots. I like the offense that Alabama's running. I think he's putting Jalen Hurts in better positions to make him a better quarterback rather than Jalen Hurts really just trying to play outside of himself or outside of his abilities as a quarterback. Jalen Hurts is not a quarterback. I do see improvements in his game as a decision maker, but I do like the positions that they're putting him in. They're not putting people, then the offensive coordinator is not putting Jalen Hurts into positions to stretch him. The championship game between Alabama and Clemson last year, I knew if it was going to come down between the quarterbacks that Deshaun Watson was going to outplay Hurts because Hurts was not a good quarterback last year. But I do think Hurts is playing better now, playing better this year. So Alabama steamrolls Colorado State 41-23. It was close early. Earlier, Colorado State looked like they were trying to do something. You know, they were trying to play with Alabama. So at the half, the score was 10-7. at the half. The score was not 10-7. The score was 24-10 at half. So that's close to Colorado State. But the final score ended up being 41-23. And Jalen Hurts, he went 12-17, 248 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a 98% QB rating. Jalen Hurts also had 11 carries for 103 yards and a touchdown. Bo Scarborough had 12 carries, 66 yards and a touchdown. And Harris had 11 carries, 53 yards and a touchdown. So D. Harris had, that's number 34 for Alabama, had a touchdown. And as far as their receivers, Ridley been tearing it up. So Ridley had 3 receptions, 92 yards and a touchdown. Foster had 1 reception, 52 yards and a touchdown. So, yeah, you know that Alabama defense came to play. They played Colorado State, so they were supposed to win, right? And that's what they did. So, roll tide, I guess. So, number 2, Oklahoma, steamrolled Tulane. Baker Mayfield and the boys, after planting the flag in the middle of Ohio State field, Baker Mayfield came back out, and they steamrolled Tulane. So, Baker Mayfield went 17 for 27, 331 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks, 93% QB rating. They as a team, they were 32 runs for 197 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, they gave up 237 yards, Oklahoma defense. That's what I'm worried about, Oklahoma defense. They're kind of porous, but they gave up 237 yards, rushing yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns to Tulane. You ain't supposed to do that to Tulane, right? But that's the only thing I'm worried about Oklahoma is their defense is kind of porous. You know, they don't really play defense in the Big 12, man, so. Number 3, Clemson looking like the best team in the nation. Going out there putting that thing on Louisville. Now, the score was 47-21. And Clemson's quarterback looks pretty good and pretty comfortable out there. So this was like his second big test against Louisville. And Kelly Bryant is his name. And scoring touchdowns is his game. So he basically... what's the thing on box? The box score. This thing tripping. Internet tripping a bit. But Kelly Bryant led Clemson to another victory over Louisville this time, over the defending Heisman recipient, Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson had his struggles in this game. So let me pull up this box score. So I give you all the stats on the game and what Kelly Bryant did versus Lamar Jackson. All right, so Kelly Bryant went 22 for 32, 316 yards, 1 touchdown, and 66.8 QBR rating. Lamar Jackson went 21 for 24, 317 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 pick. Lamar Jackson wasn't that bad. QBR 27. He wasn't that bad. He wasn't great. Clemson won. As far as on the ground, Jackson had 17 carries for 64 yards. Clemson didn't score any. Louisville didn't have any rushing touchdowns. All their touchdowns came through the air from Lamar Jackson. Clemson had 4 rushing touchdowns as a team rush for 48 total runs for 297 yards. And Clemson's defense was there putting it on him. As far as receivers, T. Samuel for Louisville had 2 receptions for 100 yards, as long as 78 yards. Jay Smith had 5 receptions for 79 yards and a touchdown. D. Fitzpatrick had 2 receptions for 38 yards and a touchdown. Stanberry had 4 receptions, 34 yards and a touchdown for Louisville. As far as Clemson, R. McLeod had 7 receptions for 115 yards and 1 touchdown. And H. Renfro, the tight end, Renfro had 4 receptions for 71 yards. Overall, 316 yards, 1 touchdown. So it was a pretty clean game, but that Clemson defense came to play. Clemson, to me, looks like the best team in college football. So they do, because last week I told you my top 4 were Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, and USC. So speaking of USC in a squeaker by Texas. The Texas Longhorns gave them a game, and USC won in overtime. 27-24 against the University of Texas. And so, you know, we got to look at this box score and let's look at the stats because the quarterback, a lot of Heisman information is surrounding that quarterback as well as draft stock. So, so Sam Darnold is their quarterback, right? So USC, Sam Darnold, USC came away with the victory. Sam Darnold, he went 28 for 49, passing 397 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 picks with a 54% QBR. Texas quarterback Ellinger went 21 for 40 for 298 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 picks with a 27% QBR rating. As far as rushing, total as a team, USC had 71 total rushing yards, no touchdowns. Texas had 68. So it's really all about the quarterbacks. No defense, really. Well, a little bit of defense, but USC pulled it out in overtime against Texas. And this was a thriller because nobody expected Texas to be able to play with USC. But Texas did come out to play, but they still fall to USC 27-24, and Texas is now 1-2 on the season, while USC is 3-0. Now, a lot of people are saying Penn State's another team to watch out. Penn State blew away Georgia State, who they're supposed to blow away Georgia State, 56-0. Washington, our next team, put that thing on Fresno State, 48-16. Now, Washington has a punt returner who keep returning all these damn punts and breaking records. He broke Sean Jackson's record as far as for the number of punt returns that that he's returned. So let me Pettis. D. Pettis. So let's look at Pettis. Let me give you some stats on Pettis. They keep Dante Pettis. So on the season, let's see, it's I keep showing. I don't want to see no receiving stats. Give me the man. They're not giving me his return stats. But Dante Pettis is the man. He returned another punt. And he balling as far as a receiver as on the season. Has 12 receptions, 29 yards, 3 touchdowns. But Dante Pettis is killing the game as far as kick returning. He keep returning punts every week. He's returned one every week so far. So, and they keep kicking it to him. But Washington came away with the victory, 48-16 over Fresno State. So we know we're getting closer and closer to these playoffs and stuff. And I want the season to take its time. Ohio State with the victory over Army, 38-7. Oklahoma State trounces Pittsburgh, 59-21. Now, Oklahoma State had 4 receivers to go over 100 yards receiving, right? Oklahoma State's quarterback, I think he had 400 receiving yards in the first half. So, all right, so Rudolph, their quarterback for Oklahoma State, went 23 for 32, 497, 5 touchdowns, 1 pick with a 97.9 QBR. Now, the receivers, McCleskey had 7 receptions, 162 yards, 3 touchdowns. Washington had 5 receptions, 124 yards, no touchdown. Aitman had 4 receptions for 109 yards, 1 touchdown. And D. Stoner had 5 receptions for 100 yards and a touchdown. Wow. Come on, Pitt. Y'all in the ACC. And y'all giving up. Y'all letting this Big 12 team come in and do y'all like that. Wisconsin beats BYU 40-6. LSU falls to Mississippi State. I don't know how the hell that happened, but Mississippi State quarterback can't even throw. But they won. Georgia doing what they're supposed to do, beating Stanford 42-14. Auburn beats Mercer 24-10. Virginia Tech beat East Carolina 64-17. Vanderbilt with the victory over Kansas State 14-7. Stanford failed to San Diego State 20-17, right? Now, the game I want to talk about is Tennessee and Florida. And Florida with their victory in the final seconds from Felipe Franks, their quarterback Felipe Franks with the touchdown. in the final seconds to what's the guy? To Cleveland in the final seconds to win the game for the Florida Gators. Now the Florida Gators defense, I was watching this game, so their defense was out there giving it their all. Florida's offense is struggling. Felipe Franks and whatever play calling Jim McElwain and them doing is struggling. And Florida's defense, you can tell they were tired as the game was going in the later parts of the fourth quarter. They were tired, but they gutted it out. Florida came out with the victory. Felipe Franks went 18 for 28, 212 yards, two touchdowns and a pick, 45 QBR rating. While Dormandy for Tennessee went 21 for 39, 259 yards, one touchdown, three picks. So, Kelly, running back Kelly for Tennessee was good. He had 19 carries, 141 yards, and a touchdown. Hey, man, shout out to the Florida Gators. So that's our little, our recap of the college football season. Now, my early leader for the Heisman right now is Baker Mayfield, quarterback for Oklahoma. I think Baker Mayfield has been putting up the best victories. I think Lamar Jackson is still in the top ranking for quarterback. I mean, for the Heisman winner, but losing to Clemson in the manner that he lost hurts him, and him also not being considered or being looked at as a great quarterback hurts him. So that's why I think Baker Mayfield right now is the leader in the clubhouse as far as when it comes to the Heisman. So NFL recap. I ain't going to go too far in. Just week one recap of the NFL. You know, we're not watching the NFL, but of course, you know, like I told you last week, the Chiefs defeated the Patriots 42-27 in the Thursday night matchup. Sunday, the first game, the Steelers won the squeak over the Browns 21-18. The Cardinals fall to the Lions 23-35. Jaguars beat the Texans 29-7. The Raiders beat the Titans 26-16. The Eagles beat the Redskins 30-17, while the Ravens blanked the Bengals 20-0. The Falcons beat the Bears 23-17. The Jets fall to the Bills 12-21. The Colts fall to the Rams. The Rams came out with their victory 40-69 over the Colts. The Packers beat the Seahawks 17-9. The Panthers beat the 49ers 23-3. The Cowboys beat the Giants 19-3. And the Vikings beat the Saints 29-19, and then, you know, the Monday night game, the Broncos beat the Chargers 24-17. Shout out to the Cowboys. I'm a Cowboy fan, but we're not watching the NFL right now. But that's our little recap on the NFL, what happened in the NFL. Now, before I get to my weekly rant, if you don't know, Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin, or Triple G, they fought last night, and which was basically the fight of the year. Yeah, Mayweather-McGregor was more popular, but this is the fight of the year. And before a sold-out crowd of 22,358, it was a tie. It was a draw. Judge Dave Moretti, he scored the fight 115-113 in favor of Triple G. Adelaide Byrd scored the fight 118-110 for Alvarez, and Don Torella scored the fight 114-114, so that caused the draw. Now, the biggest thing about this is the judge, Adelaide Byrd. A lot of people say she don't know what she's doing. She's judged a lot of fights, but she always has controversy around the fights that she judged. So, according to the information, not all the highlights and things are out in the stats about the fight, but according to what they're saying, most people are saying Triple G won the fight. Triple G dominated most of the fight. Say he woke up in the third round and had more of an impressive showing than Canelo. But then the judges came with their judging, and the fight ended in a draw. So now they have to fight again. So I'm not, like I always tell you, I'm not a boxing expert. I didn't watch the fight. I wasn't going to pay for it. But that's a little update on Triple G and Canelo. After all of the build-up, it ends in a draw, and I'm sure people are not happy about that. So they will be having a rematch. If you go to ESPN.com, you can see Teddy Atlas is blowing a gasket about that. He's straight blowing a gasket about what's going on in this fight. So a little breakdown of the fight. Round one went to Alvarez. Who is this Sunday? Yeah, so when so Judge Adelaide Bird, how she had it. Round one, 10-9 Alvarez. Round two, Alvarez. Three, Alvarez. Four, Golovkin. Five, Alvarez. Six, Alvarez. Seven, Golovkin. Eight, Alvarez. Nine, Alvarez. 10, Alvarez. 11, Alvarez. 12, Alvarez. And a lot of people are saying that she wasn't watching the same fight everybody else was watching. So, they have to do it again. So, you know, that's a little update on the world of boxing. Now, I am on to my weekly rant. And this week on the weekly rant, we got J.R. Smith, local dumbass, versus Tracy McGrady. Now, J.R. Smith got his draws all in the bunch because of the comments that Tracy McGrady made during his Hall of Fame speech. So, apparently, Tracy McGrady said that anybody can win the championship, but not anybody, but not everybody can make it to the Hall of Fame. Which there's some truth to that. Like, you can be the 12th man on the roster and get a ring. Like, J.R. Smith would not have a ring if he wasn't playing with LeBron. If LeBron wasn't dragging his team to the heights that he's been dragging his team to, J.R. Smith wouldn't be able to experience these things that he's experienced. Because J.R. Smith has messed himself up. He's the one that hasn't improved his attitude. He's the one that hasn't improved his game. J.R. Smith can shoot, but J.R. Smith do a lot of dumb stuff. And J.R. Smith needs to learn how to shut the hell up. Now, J.R. Smith took to Twitter after Tracy McGrady said that anybody can win a ring, but anybody can't make it to the Hall of Fame. So J.R. Smith, through his Twitter account, said, "This man really said anyone can win the ring, but not everyone can make it to the Hall of Fame. So no one else think that's dumb as hell." He also said, "Facts, people who did nothing make the Hall. If it was like MLB, okay, but baseball Hall of Fame, but basketball Hall of Fame, you could build a park and get in." J.R. Smith, you're not going to get into the Hall of Fame. So that means anybody cannot get into the Hall of Fame. They're not just letting anybody to the Basketball Hall of Fame. He also goes to say, "So you played for the Hall and not to win. If I was on his team, we would be fighting. I don't care if we don't play no more. Don't waste my time. No, not with who." First of all, J.R. Smith, you ain't going to whoop nobody ass. That's first of all. I bet you won't talk to them white people like that, J.R. Smith. See, these dudes think because they got all these tattoos and they're pushing stuff. J.R. Smith, you ain't going to whoop nobody ass. You won't run up on nobody. You're not even going to make the Hall of Fame. J.R. Smith, you wouldn't even have this playoff success that you're having if you weren't fortunate enough to play with certain people. You've been in good situations and messed it up yourself, J.R. Smith. You're not as good as you think you are. You can shoot. And the only reason people keep you around, for two reasons, because you can shoot and you good at starting stuff. But you ain't gonna whoop nobody ass. They're not, the Cavs are not winning because of you. Now, at times, you do make some shots. But at times, you mess a lot of stuff up with that mentality that you have. J.R. Smith, you're not as good as you think you are. And what Tracy McGrady, there's truth to what Tracy McGrady is saying. The reason why you have a ring. James Jones has like three rings. James Jones has three rings. Birdman, the player, has three rings. Now think about the 11th to 12th man on the roster who get rings. Harrison Barnes have rings. Like, whoever was the last player on the bench for the Warriors this year have rings. J.R., won't you concentrate on getting better? Won't you concentrate on getting more time on the court? Won't you concentrate on your defense? How about that? I want you to concentrate on contributing more to your team than trying to call out somebody who's actually in the Hall of Fame because they were actually a better player than you. Tracy McGrady's game was light years ahead of yours, J.R. Smith. Light years ahead of yours. You cannot touch Tracy McGrady when it comes to basketball. Shut up, J.R. Smith. You one of the players who you think you tough, J.R. You think you tough. But when the white folk get to talking to you, just like Damon Dash said, y'all boys like that be acting all crazy. But let them white boys who pay y'all checks, The white boys will write y'all checks coming to ruin. They can talk to y'all all dirty and greasy. Come on, man. You really, like, all the stuff going on in the world, and you really want to call Tracy McGrady out for this because you feel some type of way. Like a little female. Excuse me, I take that back. Not like a woman, because women don't even act like that. Women don't even act like that. I take that back. I apologize for saying that like a little female. Because our women are tough. Our women some G's. You acting like a little bitch, JR. Just like a little bitch. Yes, you are. All those tattoos and all that huffing and puffing don't make you tough. Our women, that's an insult to our women if I say you act like a woman. That's an insult to our women because our women are tougher than you. I'm not going to insult our women. J.R. Smith, you ain't tough. You're not tough at all. And to waste your time on this, won't you get in the gym and work on your defense and make sure, because when LeBron leaves Cleveland, it's over for you. It's over for you when LeBron leaves Cleveland. Or if you get booted out of Cleveland first, it's over for you. So stop acting like you on top of it. You're on top of your game like you a G and stuff like that. Come on. Come on. Get your mind right, JR. I swear these boys, they be tripping. That's what happens when you give a fool social media tools. Give a fool a camera or a way to talk. Fools gonna talk. Fools reveal who they are through social media and these videos and going live and all that. The fools reveal who they are. That's a lot of dumbass people in this world who say a lot of dumbass shit. Now, my last rant that I have, I got a big problem with fighting in sports. I do. And not the same way you think I do. I got a problem that when black players fight in sports that are predominantly black, those black players are demonized, called thugs. They should be kicked out of the league and all these things here. But when white players fight in predominantly white sports, it's praised. In baseball, if you feel like somebody has disrespected you, it's the unwritten rule to throw a baseball at them to say, hey, you've disrespected me. To throw a 98-mile-an-hour baseball. In hockey, if somebody disrespected you, you fight. But in basketball and in football, if you fight, you're a thug, you're uncouth, you're unprofessional. Now, I've heard sports analysts, commentators, reporters, all these people demonize black players for fighting. But in this, in the same mindset, in a fighting mode, will praise white players for fighting. Like they make jokes and make light of fights in hockey and the things that baseball players do. That's not okay. But once again, when you don't own your own stuff, you don't own your own outlets. Like white people can literally get away with murder in this country while black people will still all screaming and yelling. Now, I think hockey players and baseball players are two players that are two athletes in two sports who got anger issues. Hockey players, they're immature. You immature as hell if you were mad that last time I hit a home run, I hit the ball, I showed you up, so you're going to throw a 95-mile or 98-mile-an-hour baseball at me. I wish you would throw a baseball at me. You know what would stop them from throwing them baseballs and fighting in hockey? Get the right black person in there. I wish you would throw a baseball at me because I showed you up on the home run. I'm going to catch you in the parking lot, and I'm going to throw a 98-mile-an-hour baseball at your head in the parking lot. I'm going to come to your house and throw a baseball at your house. I'm going to come to your ballpark, and I'm going to come in your locker room, and I'm going to throw a baseball at you in your locker room. I'm going to throw a bat at you. I'm going to throw my clique at you. Matter of fact, I'm going to wait for you to come outside, and I'm going to bust you in the face. Now, in saying that, people were like, oh, you're violent. But it's not violent. It's okay. But y'all think it's okay for somebody to throw a baseball at somebody, unwritten rules, because this person did this, this person did that. That's not okay. Like, if you're going to say, well, let's think about the kids when it comes to football and basketball. Well, you got to think about the kids when it comes to basketball, hockey and baseball. So you're telling your little white, and that's probably why these little white boys crazy. So you tell the little white kid, hey, in baseball, if somebody show you up, throw a 98-mile-an-hour baseball at their head. In hockey, hey, if somebody make you mad, punch them. That's why these little white kids be all savage and stuff, acting like that. But if you're a black kid and you do that, you got a behavioral problem. Let's think about this, parents, before we start shoving our kids into these sports. I love football, but I'm against black parents. I'm against black parents shoving their kids into football. That's the last, like with the way the labor union is set up and the way the money is set up, the football should have the least amount of black players out of all the sports. I know I'm off topic as far as the fighting, but just another rant. Like, we keep putting our kids into these sports, and nothing, we're getting no real yield back from that. We're yielding nothing really back from that. Like, Major League Baseball hasn't changed anything in the black community. Professional football, professional basketball, professional hockey, soccer, tennis, none of that stuff, golf, none of that stuff have been able to change our neighborhoods. None of that stuff. And we keep shoving our damn kids into sports and expecting our kids and expecting these sports and these things to change things in our neighborhoods, and they won't. They won't. I don't have a problem with our kids playing sports, but let's own the realms that our kids, that we shove our kids into. We want them to play in the NFL, and the average life of an NFL player is 3 years, and most people don't get that money. Like, what about the kids who's not going to make the NFL? Like, we're sending the wrong message, and the NFL is, and NFL, MLB, NBA, all these sports leagues are basically giving black America their ass to kiss. And we keep kissing it. Black America is in an unhealthy relationship with white America, these white corporations, and we won't admit it. We will not admit it. We got to get out of these unhealthy cycles with these entities. That's why when it comes to fighting in sports, black people are demonized and white people are praised. White athletes are literally praised for fighting. A white pitcher will be praised for throwing a baseball at a man and say, oh, he's a tough guy. He's the guy you don't want to mess with. But if you black, oh, well, he don't need to play. He got behavior issues. He needs to be kicked out of the league. Straight bullshit. Come on, man. Let's think higher. Let's live higher. Let's elevate higher. Let's own our own things. I'm going to keep pushing for that. We got to own our own. We owned our own Negro League baseball at one point. And then it all went away when sellout ass Jackie Robinson, beginning of the end, decided to go. But, and it's not just Jackie Robinson. Other black people sold out too. But we act like Jackie Robinson going to the Major League Baseball was one of the greatest things that happened to black people. It wasn't. That was white progress. Black people, we lost the whole league. Come on, man. We got to get better. We got to get better. We got to get better. Hey, man. That's all the information I got for today for the fix. That's my weekly rant. That's my weekly rant. But I forgot in the beginning to make sure I do my housekeeping. So, like I said, the fix is sponsored by On the Shoulders of Giants. I was just so excited to get into it. I just got into it. But we're sponsored by On the Shoulders of Giants. Make sure you visit their website, www.ontheshoulders.org, as well as the blog, www.ontheshoulders1.com. The fix is an entity of the Freedom Train Network. And so if you want to learn more about the fix or the Freedom Train Network, myself, Joseph Ward, Patrick Irvin, Jamie Bouchon, make sure you visit the Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. You can follow the Freedom Train Network on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. You can follow the Freedom Train Network on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. You can like the Freedom Train Network page on Facebook. You can follow the Freedom Train podcast on iTunes and Google Play just by subscribing to it on iTunes or Google Play. Now, the fix, you can follow the fix on Twitter at JoeWard84. Follow me, follow me, learn more about the fix, learn more about myself, tweet me, talk to me, send me some messages on Twitter at JoeWard84. And the fix will be on iTunes and Google Play very, 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 very soon, within the next couple of days or weeks. And also make sure y'all subscribe to our Freedom Train Network YouTube channel. Just go in and look for the Freedom Train Network, and we're on YouTube. So check us out, man. We're balling. We're doing the thing, and we're growing as a network. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody for your support. Hey, man, this is the fix. This is where it go down. It's where we keep it down. Sports from a black perspective, right? We got to tell our own stories. And if we ain't telling our own stories, we tripping. Like I said, one of the reasons why I did this show is because I got tired of these white commentators, these white commentary on basketball, right? Not just basketball, but sports, period. And I was thinking about basketball players, but sports, period. Our athletes, trying to speak for our athletes and think for our athletes and say, well, I think this player is saying this and this and that. Nah, we need our own voice, and the fix is the voice of black sports. We have the blackest and we have the realest sports podcast. Until next time, man, y'all, two fingers in the air. See y'all later. Keep it down.
I've called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nassau. There's no one that